I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in just a moment with the 18th verse. Paul is nearing the end of this epistle given to him by the inspiration of God to pen, and I want you to remember the letter as a whole. As we come to a particular subject here, it's not isolated from everything else in the book. So if you'll follow along as we read from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression, if you would please, in the 20th verse, an ambassador in bonds. An ambassador in bonds. This idea of an ambassador is not anything new for the Apostle Paul. If you'll hold your place here just for a moment, I want you to turn back with me to what he wrote the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Notice that carefully. He's given to us a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." And now we come to the 20th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for Christ. And now we come from a prison cell in Rome to the book of Ephesians, near the end of it. And he says, "I am still an ambassador, but an ambassador in bonds." Most Christians have the idea that if things are working out the way they want them to work out, they are having God's blessing. But if things are not working the way they want things to work out, they're not having God's blessing. As a matter of fact, in some testimony meetings, people say, "God has been so good recently to me. I wonder whatever happened to the goodness of God all the way through." Paul is in prison saying, "The same God, when I was, as we may say in East Tennessee, was out there footloose and fancy free, the same God who made me an ambassador then still has me as his ambassador in bonds." An ambassador in bonds. Where has God placed you? Where has God placed me? Before we go back to our passage here, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2, just for a verse here. Let's not forget where we are. You see, God has his domain, and the devil has his domain. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, "Ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We're in the midst of, you ought to mark that expression, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We stay terribly upset sometimes expecting things from a crooked and perverse nation that they're never going to do. And we take our concerns to other people and we think that everybody ought to do the Christian thing. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And they're going to do what is crooked and perverse. But God has placed us in the midst of this. Like the little maid in 2 Kings chapter 5. Remember her? She was taken from her parents' home, transported to Syria, and to beat it all into the household of the man who was responsible for the soldiers and their evil deed. But it was that little maid who was stolen from Israel and brought to Syria, who testified to the wife of Naaman. Naaman, by the way, who was a man with leprosy, transported from her home to another place, she still believed God, and she said, I would to God that Naaman could get with the prophet of God in my land. He could heal him of his leprosy. You see, she knew wherever God placed her, she still had the same message. That's a true story of a child that learned how to live for God before she left home. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if we would put the emphasis where we ought to place the emphasis to help people learn how to live for God before they ever leave our homes? Look in this book of Ephesians again with me, would you please? The Bible says in chapter 3 of Ephesians, for this cause, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. I'm a prisoner for you Gentiles. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And I don't hear any sound of complaining in that, do you? Straightforward, calm, peaceful. I believe Paul had as much peace in prison as he did out proclaiming the gospel on the mountainside because he knew the nearness of God. You see, it's not the absence of problems that we need. It's the presence of God that we need. We'd all like to think we could just be away from all problems. But that's not what brings peace. What brings peace is the Lord's presence. He goes on to say, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, I have this time in God's grace, this dispensation. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now notice, please, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Notice carefully verse 10. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Notice the principalities and powers in heavenly places. This is God's work. Remember, as we dealt with those verses quite a while back, I said to you that what God does, the devil tries his best to imitate. And notice we come to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, verse 12 of Ephesians 6, but against principalities and powers. God has principalities and powers in heavenly places. Satan has principalities and powers. And rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Here Paul finds himself in prison in the most august or most renowned court in the world, the court of Rome. Nero is the Caesar and emperor. And he says, God placed me here as an ambassador. Let's stop complaining about what God has done with our lives. And accept what God has done. That he makes no bad choices or wrong choices. As a matter of fact, I heard Harry Saulnier years ago at Pacific Guard Mission in Chicago say, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. And he does. You can trust that. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. The word ambassador comes from a word where Rome and even the Roman church today uses something called a legate. Someone who answers to the head. In Paul's day, there were Roman legates who were at outposts away from Rome who answered only to the emperor. They answered only to the emperor. They were ambassadors for Rome, and they answered only to the emperor. Just as we send ambassadors today around the world, and they answer to our nation and the highest office in our land, the president. Paul says, I am an ambassador. We learned from the word of God that there were people converted in Caesar's household. You know, we pray sometimes, I wish so-and-so would really come to the Lord. That's a person of great influence. I wish they'd come to the Lord. And I wonder what we would do and how we'd respond if God so moved things around where we were positioned in the path of one of those people out of our situation that's comfortable. We're in the path of a person who needs the gospel. Would we be faithful? Would we be faithful to give the gospel? Well, God has placed us as ambassadors. And the bonds we know are bonds of his love. His love constrains us. We are bond slaves. We've been purchased, made free people by the blood of Jesus. We've been bought from the slave markets of sin. The devil had all of us running off to hell with us. And Jesus, by his precious blood, paid for our redemption and reconciled us to himself. And we're his. We belong to him. And he made us his ambassadors. Praise his holy name. He is a wonderful Savior. Now I want you to notice about this ambassador's work as he brings it to our attention. Notice the ambassador praying. If you'll write that down, please. The ambassador praying. An ambassador in bonds, he's praying. Notice verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So this ambassador prays. Now there's a conflict going on. It's a spiritual conflict. And Paul realizes this spiritual conflict is truly going on. That the devil has principalities and powers and rules of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. He realizes God's people are spread out all across the land in Asia Minor, and there he is in Rome. And he's encouraging people who received this letter to pray. And he's praying because the battle is raging. The evil domain of the devil and the righteousness of God. Paul is in this conflict. Now we know who wins. The Lord's already the victor. The devil's a defeated foe. Jesus came forth alive from the grave with his foot on Satan's throat, and the heel of our Savior was bruised, but that old serpent's power was defeated. And praise God for that. But we're in the conflict until we see Jesus and get a new body. And we, as ambassadors, should be praying. Notice he says, praying always. Mr. Spurgeon said, the spirit of prayer is greater than the habit of prayer. to stay in a spirit of prayer. If anyone is going to pray always, it must be the spirit of prayer. This is not just prompted by the Holy Spirit, because we're enabled by the Holy Spirit. We'll come to that in a moment. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is an intense personal need we're crying out for. Look at the word again. A specific, intense, personal need. Praying and with supplication in the Spirit. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit aiding us. There's a work that we're to do, crying out to God. God allows things in our lives to bring us not only to prayers, but to this type of prayer, this intense, specific supplication. And it's for our good. There are people who would never really pray with intensity unless they had something personal with which to deal. You and I know from our own lives things that God's allowed to go on. And you know from watching me for 25 years, there are things I've had to deal with. And the Lord has worked in my life. He's brought me closer to Himself. And without dealing with things, I would not have had the prayer life that I have developed. And I say, all glory to God and to His goodness. Now here is a man who says, I am an ambassador in bonds. And I cannot do what God wants me to do without praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I want you to hold your place here and turn back with me to the gospel records just for one thing the Lord Jesus said about prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, if you'll have your Bible open there, in Matthew chapter 6, prayer brings us to a certain point in life of separation to God. Now, I'm not talking about these polywanna-cracker prayers that most of us go through, myself included. When I begin to preach like this and talk about prayer, I'm the most convicted person, most intensely convicted person in the place, because I am aware that I need to pray, and I try, by God's grace, to stay in a spirit of prayer. But all of us know that we go through the motions. But how often have you had something where it brought you to intense supplication for some special personal need? And you say, or I would say, I'm dealing with this in a certain way that I have never had to deal with this. I'm dealing with this person or with this matter like never before. I think about these people who suffer so, and people who are physically ill, and something comes upon them, or they hear news from a doctor that it's the last thing in the world they ever imagined they would hear or wanted to hear. And there begins not just prayer, praying always, but intense supplication. My dear friend Dr. Hudson, when he heard that he had cancer, he said, I'm going to determine by God's grace this will be the greatest time of my life. And he said, I want you to pray this will be the greatest time of my Christian life. And I said to him, near the end, Evelyn will remember this, and I said to him, near the end, remember that prayer we had on the front porch of your house in that glass enclosure, and you said you wanted me to help you pray that this would be the greatest time of your Christian life? And he said, oh, it's been the most wonderful part of my journey. Now, I don't want the cancer to prove that, and you don't either. But I'm telling you, somebody who's been there said that. He said, God is sweeter. He is nearer. I've had more joy in Him. I've loved more deeply. I've understood the Word of God more thoroughly. It brought me to a place. And here's a man who is mightily used of God, we read about in the Bible. But don't forget, he's in a Roman prison cell writing, encouraging people to pray. Now, we want something from God, but do we allow God to do things in our lives to bring us to the fulfillment of that desire? The ambassador praying. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I remember praying with a man in England, and I don't know why this stands out, but it does. Before I left his office, a fine pastor, Dr. Masters, I said, would you pray for us? We're trying to get this work started in Birmingham. Would you pray for us? And he took his hand, like I'm taking my hand, and he covered his face like this, and then bowed his head. Now, I would have closed my eyes and bowed my head, but he took his hand and covered his face. I realized later, at least I think I realized later, what he was doing. He's saying, I'm not in a closet, I'm not in a private place, but I want to be as intense as possible. I want to shut out everything that needs to be shut out. I want to be alone with God in this, and I want to pray. You and I, all of us, many of us have been in the Lord's work for a long, long time, need to take more seriously the matter of prayer and what's accomplished in prayer. But prayer is hiding ourselves with God. You may not be literally closing a door and locking yourself in a closet, but it is hiding ourselves with God. Think of this. It is going beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies. It is entering into heaven, into the presence of God. If we really believe that there's a God who hears and answers prayer, what we're doing, we're actually entering heaven, not just hiding with God. We're entering into heaven with God in our prayers. We're believing that there's a way that we, who are sinners, can go in on the record of reconciliation by the blood of Jesus with his imputed righteousness. We can go into the very presence of a thrice holy God and speak to that God about our need. And we find it's a throne of grace because we find grace to help in time of need. How does all that happen? Through prayer. Through prayer. And there's battles going on. And that's why we find not only the apostle, the ambassador praying, but we find the ambassador watching. Look at it, please. If you go back there to Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, we've seen this word perseverance before, but we don't immediately connect it with watching. We've seen the word preparation, remember? Remember when we were talking about preparation in verse 15 of the same chapter? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? We want the gospel of peace, but it requires preparation to have the gospel of peace. Have we made the preparation? Are we ready to give an answer? Have we filled our hearts and minds with the Word of God? Have we made the preparation? Now, the ambassador is watching. What does that mean? Mark that word, would you please? Watching. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Paul was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Watchings. Let me read a verse to you. It's back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you may get just a little better understanding of this. I did. Paul is talking about his testimony in verse 24 and following of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of my heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. In watchings. Then he goes on to say, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Watchings there means lying sleepless. Lying there, but sleepless. Now, If you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, the ambassador says, I am watching with all perseverance. I'm wide awake spiritually. I'm alert. I know the devil is on the rampage. By the way, remember in Ephesus, the sons of Sceva who tried to mimic what Paul was doing, and the demons actually answered and said, you know, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but we don't know who you are. They knew exactly where Paul was. Paul's doing great battle here. With increased activity, true spiritual activity for Christ, it sets the devil and demons in an uproar, and there's increased demonic activity. When the Lord Jesus on the earth, remember that, the Lord Jesus on the earth, there was increased demonic activity. We believe what we read in the Bible, as I've said to you earlier, when in the time of the Antichrist, of course, will be increased demonic activity. And Paul says, I am here in Rome as an ambassador in bonds, and I am praying, always praying, in prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, and that Spirit word is talking about the Holy Spirit, because you see, the devil and demons know they're no match for the Holy Spirit. But he says, I'm in watchings also. I'm in watchings. You and I know when we try to pray, we have to watch. I'm not talking about looking out with our physical eyes, but we have to watch because we're distracted. You think about something, you think about something else, before long your mind's wandering, and before long you may even be thinking about something. Like Mr. Spurgeon said, in some of the most devout, holy times in his life, he said, I just can't believe some of the awful, awful thoughts that have come to my mind. And if you'll be an honest person, and you don't have to be with me, just with God, women and men, you can't believe as a Christian. You cannot believe as a Christian some of the thoughts that have come to your mind. And you know it. And I say, to avoid corrupt communication, don't talk about those things. Give them immediately to Jesus Christ. Don't even communicate with other people about those things. But you and I both know those evil things can enter into our minds. Terrible, hellish things. And Paul says, I'm watching. I'm guarding. I'm on guard. Like in the middle of a sleepless night. Because I know this is a spiritual warfare. You see, you and I like to sign up for the easy way to get it done. And it's a joy to follow the Lord. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's only real happiness in life. You know? And the future is greater than the present. And the present is the greatest thing there is at present. We are heirs of eternal life, and we are living eternal life at this moment. But it must be done with watching. Watching, and notice, with all perseverance. And then back to this word, and supplication for all saints. Intense, deliberate prayer. I remember being in Northern Ireland, and someone was testifying about some of the perils they were in among people there, life-threatening things. I was with one man who showed me the bullet holes in the side of his house, Brother McCray, about how they'd attacked him, attacked his family, tried to kill him. And he says, you know, brother, there were times, and the only thing that got us through was intense prayer. And we call people to intense prayer. To intense prayer. And there are times you and I, in our watchings in this spiritual warfare, must be called to intense prayer and supplication. So the ambassador was watching. And then a third thing I want you to write down is the ambassador speaking. And he had certain things to say about his speaking that I think are very revealing. In verses 19 and 20. And for me, he said, pray for me, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. So I want to be able to speak. An opportunity to speak, yes. Here in the prison of the Emperor of Rome, in the court, the most recognized place of power among men on earth, that I'll have an utterance. Somebody says, well, that's foolish. No. God can open this door. You ever get anything on your mind, you wonder if it's really of the Lord? I remember when we started a school and somebody said, God can't be in that, man. You drive yourself crazy. Well, God was in it. I remember when we bought this property down here, I walked in and I thought to myself, this takes my breath. But God was in it. He was in it. Paul said, God put me here in Rome, in the household of Caesar's servants to witness. Now, pray that God gives me utterance, that I'll have the opportunity to speak. I wonder how many times God has given me the opportunity and I've sinned by not speaking for Him. I've been with people at times. I talked to a man the other day walking through an airport who was running for president, and I had the opportunity to speak with him in a meeting. And I made casual conversation, even talked about Christ and a book he was reading, but not really confronting him about the claims of the gospel as I should have. He saw one of our people the other day, and I was walking through the Charlotte airport the other day, and Evelyn was with me, and I called out to him, and he said, hey, Pastor, I remember being with you. I just saw one of your people in Texas. When God gives utterance, Paul said, pray that I'll have utterance. Notice, that may give to me that I may open my mouth boldly, speak it with boldness, to make known the mystery of the gospel. And by the way, that's a sacred secret revealed in God's time, the mystery of the gospel. You see, that requires Holy Spirit work. People say, our university campuses, you can't reach them anymore. 26,000 students, as far as I know, at the University of Tennessee. And you think, how many of them really know the Lord? Well, can God give utterance there? Can He give boldness for us to speak? Do we have ambassadors there? Do we? Yes. Can He open the eyes of blind people? Can He reveal Himself that way? Can He bring people to an understanding of the gospel? Well, you and I know the answer to that question, don't we? But it's not going to happen without intense prayer. And he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. When I come to that expression, as I ought to speak, I want to say to the Lord, I want to put this before you. Not just what I say, but how I say it, when I say it. Have I spoken as I ought to speak? And may I take it just a little further? When you stop to buy gasoline on the interstate, you go into a convenience store or a gas station, have you spoken as a Christian as you ought to speak? When you've ordered a meal in a restaurant and you're talking to someone waiting at the table, have you spoken as God's ambassador in there as you ought to speak? Have I? When you find yourself in a tough situation in the workplace, but you're the Christian, have you spoken as you ought to speak boldly, God giving utterance, the Lord by His Spirit opening the heart to hear? Paul said, I am an ambassador in bonds. And the ambassador we find in prayer. We find the ambassador watching. And we find the ambassador speaking. And what we read in the Word of God, of those who came to Christ of Caesar's household, we're going to meet people in heaven who who were saved. And others were saved because they got saved and told them, because God's man recognized the Lord took him as an ambassador in bonds to Rome. I want to meet people in heaven who've come to Christ because I've been God's faithful ambassador. Do you?